Kof Dalad Shvat, Friday the 17th of February, Rabbi Herschel Schachter, some aspects of organ transplantation.
Previous speaker slipped a little bit. Instead of Shari Shuri, he mentioned Shari Ephraim. Shari Shuri was written by two brothers, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius and his brother. Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius also wrote to Shari Ephraim on Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. So in the Shari Tshuva, every so often he'll say, as I wrote in my Sefer Beis Ephraim, or as I wrote in my Sefer Shari Ephraim. Sometimes I'll write, as my brother wrote in his Sefer Mate Ephraim. So that Ephraim can't figure out what's going on. So they point out, it was written, in the first day, it was written by the two brothers. Ephraim is my brother. He was the businessman abroad. He was not the rabbi abroad. The rabbi is the one who wrote the Lev Aryeh and Chuli. But this Balabas, this businessman, was more famous in the world of Torah than the rabbi was. Okay, our topic today is organ transplant. There are many different aspects to organ transplant. We cannot cover the whole topic in a half an hour. We'll cover part of the topic. the halacha says in the Gemara that a mace is also bahanoah. The Gemara learns out from the pasuk. It says, "Vakamosh sham miriam, vatigavah sham." The word sham appears, and it says that the word sham by egla rufa. Rafu sham is egla banachal. So the Gemara derives from Zereshav sham sham egla rufa that a mace is also bahanoah. The Mishnah of Amelech in his commentary on the bottom of the page of the Rambam is not sure whether the Gemara really meant to say a drasha gemura. It's a din deraisa. Maybe it's only an asmach. Maybe it's only with the rabbanon. Orthodox Jews observe dinam derabbanan the same as we observe dinam deraisa, but not 100% the same. There are certain coolness in dinam derabbanan that we'll get to later. But Mishlam Malach says, as far as he's concerned, he's not so convinced that it's a din deraisa. What can he do? Taisus learns beferish that it is a din deraisa. Meis osapano is a din deraisa. Taisus has two opinions regarding or hameis, the skin of a meis, whether the isa hano is deraisa derabbanan. The two Taisus are on two different Mesichtas. He points out Taisus in one Mesichta contradicts the Taisus in the other Mesichta, where the Or HaMeis is in Issa Derais and Issa Derabbanan. What's the difference? Bottom line, Orthodox Jews observe Dinim Derabbanan to the same extent as Dinim Derais. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he says it's not exactly so. When we learn Hilcha Shabbos, we know that there is a difference. There are four different categories. If you have in Simen Shimchaches, in the Hilcha Shabbos, the whole Simen, how do you deal with a Chayla on Shabbos? So if you have a chodesh sheyesh b'sakanas nefoshes, there's a danger to his life. So the din is that if necessary, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos even with a malacha derais. If you can get a nochri to do, if you can lower it to the level of a derabbanon, is machil masa hakala kal tchila. You have to be mechal Shabbos to try to violate as little as possible. But if you have no breira, then you're even permitted to be mechal Shabbos on the level of derais. If there's only sakanas aver, if there's only chashash, Vadai Asafik of loss of a limb. So there is a minority opinion in Meiri is of the opinion that loss of limb is the same as loss of life, but that opinion was not accepted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Tzvi Deyesh has a tshuva where Weinberg from Hildesheimer Seminary from Berlin, he has a tshuva where he raises the possibility maybe we should reverse the Psak in the Shulchan Aruch today. Because he says that there are three Rishonim who say like this. The Meiri, another two Rishonim who say that the loss of a limb is the same as loss of the life. There are some Rabbanim who passed in like that, that even loss of a limb is considered the Pikoch Nefesh, and you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos with Malachas Deraisa. But generally speaking, that's not the accepted opinion. So we assume the second category is whenever there is Sakona to a limb, possible loss of a limb. So you're allowed to violate all the Rabbanans, that's the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to violate any of the Raisas, all the Rabbanans are Mutar. Whenever there's no Sakana to a limb, it's just the person is a Chol She'ein Bo Sakana. Chol She'ein Sakana means, the Ramah gives you the definition, either Mutar or Mishkov or Chol Kogufa. The person is, let's say a person has a splitting headache and he can't eat and he has to lay in bed. A person has so much aches and pains that he can't function normally. He's slowed down. He can't function normally. That's the definition of a chol hashem b'sakana. Chol hashem b'sakana, we're not permitted to violate their rights, for sure not. You're only permitted to violate gzeiros derabbanan. There are two categories of prohibitions which they instituted midirabbanan. Some of them are called malachas midirabbanan and some are called gzeiros midirabbanan. So the gzeiros are on a lower level. So the Shulchan Aruch says one is permitted to violate all things that are only called gzeiros. For example, what's an example? you're not allowed to take a hot bath on Shabbos. Not allowed to take Amir Ladochri. It says in the Gemara, Chodosh Em B'Sakani, you're permitted to ask a Nochri to drive you to the hospital. Even though to drive to the hospital is a Malacha Deraisa, to drive a car on Shabbos is a Malacha Deraisa. Amir Ladochri is Mutter B'Makam Chodosh Em B'Sakani. That's what the Gemara says. But another example, the Gemara has playing music on Shabbos. Is an Issa de Rabbanan, but it's not, it's a Gzeira Shem Yisakin Klishir, it's not a Malacha de Rabbanan, it's a Gzeira de Rabbanan. So the Gemara says if a person is sick and he can't function normally and he has to sleep in order to get better, and we know that the only way to have him fall asleep is by playing soft music to fall him to sleep. It's a funny Gemara at the end of Erevin. So the Gemara says if need be, a Jew is permitted to play the music to put the Chavah to sleep, that he should get better, because playing music is not even a malacha mirabbanan, it's only a gzeira mirabbanan. So b'makom chodesh em b'sakana, we allow all the gzeiras mirabbanan. Or the Shulchan Aruch has an example, a person is a chodesh em b'sakana, he has some kind of condition, and if he takes a hot bath, he'll get better. So I should turn on the hot water is a bishul, that's a malacha deraisa. I'll ask a nachri that he should turn on the hot water. So amirul nachri is mutter. So it's permitted to ask the Nachri, but then how can I take the bath? The Gemara says that there's Xeris HaBalanim. Balanim are the bathhouse attendants. The bathhouse attendants are not the most learned segment of the Jewish population, not the most observant people. So in the days of the Tanaim, a lot of the bathhouse attendants used to cook the water on Shabbos, and they told the Balabatim that the water was heated on Erev Shabbos, and they maintained the heat till now. So the Gemara and the Tanaim knew that a lot of them were telling a lie. So they made a gzera de rabbanan that even if the bathhouse attendant is telling the truth, and he did not, no one violated chilul Shabbos at all, he's not allowed to take a hot bath on Shabbos. So the Rav Yosef Kara writes, in the Beis Yosef, you're permitted to ask a nochri to heat the water for you, but how can I take the hot bath? It's a gzera de rabbanan, you're not allowed to take a hot bath on Shabbos, even if you didn't violate the Yisad Bishul on the water. So he says, but taking a hot bath is only a gzera, it's not even a malacha. So all gzeiras are mutter b'makom chodesh em b'sakana. So a person has to know how to learn to be able to know what's a gzeira de rabban, what's a malacha de rabban. Then the fourth category, the first category is chodesh yesh b'sakana. We even allow you to violate an issa deraisa. The second category is sakanas aver. We'll be paskin against the meiri. Most paskin against the meiri. That's our said in Shulchan Aruch. You're only permitted to violate the rabbanans, but everything goes all the rabbanans. The third category is chodesh em b'sakana, but we only permit you to violate Xeris the Rabbanan, not allowed to violate Malachas the Rabbanan. The fourth category is a person who's basically healthy, but he has a little bit of aching and pain. My foot hurts, I can't walk well, but I'm walking around, talking, I'm functioning. I have an infection in my finger, people have aches and pains. When you reach my age, you have a lot of aches and pains. So that's called a bari with a mechesh b'yam. So the bari with a mechesh b'yam, not only does he not have any kulas, he introduced the Gzeira de Rabbanan that he's not allowed to take refuah on Shabbos. Moshe Feinstein writes, he thinks that these four categories that appear in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos should apply to other areas as well. So he says, let's say a person can't see. And if you'll take cornea from a dead body, the cornea can be taken even after the person is dead, and you can use it for a living person to help him see. So the Shaila is, but a mace is also vano. So are you allowed to get hanor from it? So there are those who say that the Gemara has a statement, Suma Choshev Kemeis. A blind person is considered like a mace. So there was someone who said the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik was old and weak the last few years of his life, so everybody was saying all kinds of crazy things in his name. So the RCA, the Rabbinical Council of America, had their annual spring conference in a hotel in the mountains in the New York area. So one of the rabbis from the RCA said over Rabbi Soloveitchik at Gazok that a suma is chashiv kemeis, so it's considered bikuach nefesh. You're allowed to take the cornea from a dead body because if the person will not be able to see, so suma chashiv kemeis.
What about you undertake cornea?
Cornea.
Oh, I see you.
From a dead body to implant it in a living person, now he'll be able to see. So before when he wasn't able to see, it's chashiv kemeis. Now that he can see, it's chashiv kechai, so that's bikuach nefesh. So I thought that was a joke. The Rabbi Soloveitchik's daughter, Mrs. Tversky, heard what they said in the name of her father, so she was very upset. Her father was not in a condition to comment on it. He wasn't healthy at all. So she has a good sense of humor, so she wrote a humorous news article, as if she's writing out to the newspaper, that the Rabbinical Council of America at the 55th annual conference, it was reported in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik that whoever makes less than $60,000 a year is an ani, And the Talmud says, Ani Choshev Kemeis, so he's allowed to take a job to be Mechal Shabbos. Because he's a Meis now. He's allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to become a Chai. It's the Chalait Son. So Reichik would never say such a stupid thing. That is Suma Choshkim, that's an Agavita. Other Rabbonim would paskin by Agavitas. Rav Soloveitchik never, the classical paskin, don't paskin based on Agavitas. Just because the Gemara says Suma Choshkim Kemeis, is just as humorous as saying that Ani Choshkim Kemeis, and not being Mechal Shabbos to become an Osher. So Rav Moshe Feinstein does not assume that that's called Pikoch Nefesh because the cornea gives me the ability to see. He just says, if the person can't see, he's alive, but this organ is not functioning. His eyes are not functioning. So just like in Hilchas Shabbos, if you have Sakana Sever, an Aver is not functioning. So you're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos by all the Rabbanans in order that the Aver should be able to function. Sakana Sever, you allow all the Surim the Rabbanan. So Moshe Feinstein says he thinks that that carries over into Kol HaTarakul also. It's not restricted only to Hilchas Shabbos. So we would permit, what if the Issa Hanoah from the cornea of the mace would only be the Rabbanan, then we would be makel to permit the living person to get Hanoah from the cornea, then he should be able to see, because that's a case of Sakana Sefer. So Moshe writes in his Sefer, look, the whole mace also Bahanoah, the Mishlah Melech raised the possibility maybe the whole thing is only an Asmachtim of the Rabbanan. We're not so convinced in the first place that it's an Issa Derais. And Tosfos says that it is, but Tosfos has 2 days regarding Or HaMeis, whether Or HaMeis is an Issa Deraisa the Rabbanan. So Moshe says, Genuk if you say Or HaMeis is the Rabbanan. You're not mechuyev to be machmir so much to assume that Or HaMeis is Deraisa. And there Moshe assumes that the cornea has the same consistency as the Or. I'm a layman. I never knew that Or, the skin, is different from the flesh. So I once asked the doctor, is there a difference between the consistency? He said, absolutely, a different thing. I thought the skin is the end of the flesh. So he told me, the doctor told me, no, it's not the same. The or is or, and the flesh is flesh. Then I asked him, what about cornea? So he said, that's or. That's the same as or. He didn't know what I was asking for. I didn't understand how Rav Moshe Feinstein make this premise. So the doctor told me that it's correct, that the cornea is the same consistency as skin. It's not the same consistency as flesh. So Rav Moshe Feinstein paskins that the cornea is dina ke'or, and since the whole Issa Hanoah of the Or is only the Rabbanon, and the living person wants to be able to see, so since there's an issue of Sakana Sefer, so we allow all the Rabbanons just like in Hilchas Shabbos. The main issue that, there are many issues that have to be discussed in organ transplants. There was an interesting issue years ago, in Eretz Yisrael, there was a man who, there are living people who give organs, donate organs to other people. Let's say you give a kidney to another person. So there was a man who needed a kidney, had 3 sons, and all the 3 sons volunteered. They had a whole machlokes. Each one of their sons volunteered. They wanted to give the kidney to the father. So they couldn't decide who has the kedima. So they went to ask Rabbi Yashiv. They asked Rabbi Yashiv every shayla in Eretz Yisrael. So it turns out that 2 of the sons were married and 1 was single. So he said the single son should not volunteer his kidney because he has to get a shidduch. And they're going to find out, the girls are going to find out has no kidney, so they may shat in a shidduch. And the married sons have to ask their wives whether they agree. So the 2 married sons both asked their wives. So one wife said no. The other wife said yes. So they always get passed from the shidduch. So the one who was married and his wife said okay, he's the one who donated a kidney. So that's one of the humorous shaylos. Okay, serious shaylos. That's one of the aspects of organ transplant that comes in. That by living people, they have different parts. Usually, the organ transplants that people like to talk about a lot is from the dead people. So the shaylos, let's say, if you have a heart transplant, you can only, the heart is only, the cornea is good even if you take it from the person after he's really dead. The heart only helps if the person is still basically alive, but he's what we call brain dead. So this is a big issue in America and all over the world, whether the halacha recognizes brain death or not. Years ago, there used to be a different definition of brain death. The same expression was used years ago when you have a flat EKG, so that used to be known as brain death. So many of the rabbanim who said at that time, but we don't recognize brain death, are the ones who said later that when we have the new kind of brain death, that maybe the halacha should recognize this. So there are 2 different kinds of brain death. So I remember when we were learning Gemara Sanhedrin, but the Gemara has a whole sugi about Ritzicha, when you chayim misa, if you kill a trefi, you're not chayim misa, kill a goyses, you are chayim misa, a lot of details in the Gemara. So Rav Soloveitchik said, he wasn't so convinced The din is that a person who is brain dead, at that time brain death, this was 50 years ago, 55 years ago. So he said at that time brain death meant a flat EKG, but all the Rabbanim said we don't recognize brain death. Amzal Reshik said, yeah, we don't recognize brain death that he's considered dead, but it could be that he's alive like an animal. Who says that there's an Isser Etzicha? Maybe in order to be alive as a human being, you need that there should be brain functioning. So he says he doesn't know. There's not enough rice for the Gemara. We don't know. So that was assumed to be Osir, at least Misofik. That's when you call, what do they call? PVS, permanent vegetative state or something like that. When a person is in a vegetative state, it looks like he's not going to get out of it. So that we assume for sure there's an Isser Etzicha, even though we're not so convinced. It could be he's alive, he's not yet Metame, maybe he's neither could behave, maybe he's not Kinnikot. But the question is the more recent definition of brain death, where there's not enough blood being supplied to the brain, and the stem of the brain is dead already, so maybe that should be considered death. So this is a big debate in our generation. The overwhelming majority of the big poskim do not recognize brain death. It's the minority of them who do. So I just wanted to present a little bit about this topic. And one of the major sources in this week happens to be in this week's parsha, Parshas Mishpatim, right at the end of the second Aliyah, right before Shlishi. The pasuk starts off chapter Chavez. Ima machteres imatzi hagana v'hukav ameis ein loy domin. The rabo b'machteres is nitan lahatzila v'nafsha. You're allowed to kill him. You're allowed to kill the ganef. Because he is considered a roedef. So the expression used in the Chumash is "Ein lo domin." You're allowed to kill him. Im zarch Hashem shalov domin lo. So the Vilna Goyen comments on the pasuk. What does it mean "Ein lo domin"? What does it mean "domin lo"? A person who has blood circulating in his body is considered a chai. A person whose blood is not circulating is considered a meis. That's the definition of being alive or being dead. When there is blood circulating, the person is alive. When there's not blood circulating, the person is dead. So the pasuk says, "Hababa machteres is dina kegavre ktilo." So ein lo domin. Even though he's alive and kicking, he's well. We treat him as if ein lo domin. We treat him as if he doesn't have blood circulating in the system. In zoch Hashem shalat, if it's klovi the tug, it's very clear that he's not boal liskin efashis. Then domim lo, we treat him like a person who does have blood circulating in his system and is considered alive. So you see from the simple reading of the psukim that the definition of alive and dead depends on blood circulation. Now Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that was written way before any of the definitions of brain death came up. He has an innocuous tshuva, a person who is paralyzed on the left side of his body, so his left arm doesn't have any nervous functioning. So the Shaila is, can he fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin by putting the tefillin on the left arm, which is paralyzed? So Moshe writes, behechlet, absolutely yes. How is he so convinced that yes? There was Amir Rabbanu, well, no. Because his father had a stroke half a year before he died, and his father was a Talmud Chacham, and his father continued to lay tefillin on the left arm. So that's how he knows the din. So how did his father know? That's how he knows the din. How did his father know? So he said, his father knew because there's a Gemara in Bcheres. In the middle of Bchera is the Gemara that the Daf Yomi people learn everything, but the yeshivas, nobody ever learns that part of Bchera. It's about the Mumin. When is it called the Bal Mumin, the Behemoth? When is it called the Bal Mumin by the Koy? So it discusses their Mumin. So it says, if there's no blood circulating to a certain organ, then that organ is considered dead. But if there is blood circulating, but only the nervous system is not functioning, if you cut, let's say the left side of the body is paralyzed, so if you cut a finger, the blood will flow. The blood is circulating. It's not the gangrene didn't set in over there. It's not that there's no blood circulating at all. So Moshe says, as long as the blood is circulating, then that's the definition of alive. And if there's no blood circulating, even though the rest of the body blood is circulating, so then that organ is dead. So if, let's say, the left arm would be gangrenous, no blood circulating, then you couldn't be yotze tefillin, because it's considered as if the arm is dead. But kolzman that the nerves are not functioning, and the blood is circulating, that is considered alive. So Moshe has another tshuva. There are many sources in Gemara and Rishonim that this is a definition of life versus death, whether the blood is circulating, the blood is not circulating. Famous din in Hilchot Shabbos, you're not allowed to cause bleeding, chavola. If you do chavola on a person, chavola on an animal on Shabbos, this is considered a malacha. So there's a big dispute in the commentaries on the Gemara, what malacha are you violating? So Rashi says you're violating tzoveya, that you make a black and blue mark. And the Rambam holds that it's a violation of disha, like squeezing out juice from the fruits. Disha. And the accepted opinion is Taisus. Taisus in the Yerushalmi says like Taisus, that's what we assume. That it says in the Chumash ki hadam hu hanefesh, that the blood circulating in the body keeps the animals alive. So just like there's one of the 39 malachas is Natilas Neshama, if you kill an animal, so not only if you kill the whole animal, if you cause any bleeding, because ki adam hu anefesh, and Taisus quotes the Loshen from the Gemara in the Yedna Masechas Nida, malikot l'kula, malikot l'palga. Does make a difference, but he just caused a little bit of blood to spill, because the blood keeps the whole animal alive, or you kill the whole organism. So that's one shuva. Rav Moshe says, definition of life and death in organs is blood circulating. Definition of life and death in human being is when the blood is circulating to the whole body. That's from today's parsha, domim lo elo domim. So then Rav Moshe has another shuva. The Gemara in the end of Yuma makes a statement. The Gemara tells, Misha nochel olam matolis, a building collapsed on a person, and you're not sure if the person is alive or dead. So are you permitted to be mechal Shabbos to pull him out? So as long as there's a suffix, sakana, sex faker, maybe you will be able to keep him alive. Maybe he's still alive. You want to preserve his life. So then you'll not be Mechal Shabbos. So let's say we've dug him out a little bit, and we see that there's no pulse. His blood doesn't seem to be circulating. So then you assume that he's dead. What if you dig out part of him, and you see that he's not breathing? So do you assume that he's dead or not? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Parshas Noach in connection with the Mabul. It says, "Kol hashem nishmas ruach chaim biyapov asher becharova mesu." I think it says like that. All the animals that were normally breathing through their nose, kol hashem nishmas ruach chaim biyapov, died because of the mabul. So the Gemara says, "You see, from that pasuk, that when a person is not breathing, he's considered dead. If he's not breathing through his nose, asher nishmas ruach chaim biyapov." So one of the rabbanim in America, you have a lot of rabbanim in America. Each one has a funny approach to life in general, and to Torah in particular. So one of the Rabbanim had a chiddush. A person is sick in the hospital, and he's not breathing through his nose, but they have a trick. So he's breathing. So he said he's dead. You can pull the plug, he's dead. Nishmas ruach chaim biyapov. If he's not breathing through his nose. So Moshe writes a tshuva to him, and he writes his name, too. So there's one tshuva where Moshe left out the person's name, because he said, you are not Pekoris or something. So in the first edition of the English Moshe, they printed his name. Happens to be a Balabos, he used to live in my neighborhood, he passed away, right? Then in the second edition of the English Moshe, they left out his name, Mishum Kloyde. So the Moshe got angry at him. You are not Pekoris or something. So in this tshuva, they have the rabbi's name. He was a prominent rabbi. The Moshe says that it's utterly ridiculous what you said. Halacha has to be dafik breathing through his nose. That doesn't make any sense at all. So what's talking with that pasuk kolosh and nishma? So Moshe writes, what is it? The nose is from the evarim shanashama tluya behem. The Gemara has in different mesichtes, we distinguish between eva shanashama tluya behem, a vital organ, that if the organ is not functioning, the person is going to die soon, as opposed to non-vital organs. We see that people lose fingers, lose arms, lose legs, lose ears, but they're still functioning. There's certain organs that are considered vital organs. So Rav Moshe writes, as a joke, he says, what, the nose is a vital organ? The lungs are the vital organ. The nose is not a vital organ. So it's interesting, the way Rav Moshe uses the Lashon, is the nose a vital organ that you should say, because not breathing through the nose, that's why it's considered dead. So the pashtus is that the definition of life and death and the whole organism should really depend on, if you put together the two tshuvas of Rav Moshe, the tshuva about putting on tefillin on the left arm, when the person is paralyzed on the left side. And this tshuva, but Rav Moshe said that life and death should have to do with vital organs if you put them together, so it should depend on the following. If there's no longer blood circulating to the Eivorim Shanashama Tliya Bahem, so all the vital organs are dead, so then the person is considered dead. So here's a little unclear, a few things. Number one, how many vital organs are there? So if you know mitzvah, you have to ask a doctor, how many vital organs are there? In Halacha, when the Gemara talks about the vital organs, the person says, Hare Kvedi Nozir, Hare Roshi Nozir. If the person says, Hare Nozir on a vital organ, so he becomes a Nozir. If he says, Hare Yodi Nozir, Hare Ragli Nozir, he doesn't become a Nozir. Well, you have other dinim, Pashta Kedusha Bekula, a person is Magdash a leg of an animal, so you don't say Pashta Kedusha Bekula. He's Magdash the heart of an animal, or the liver of an animal. Kovid is a vital organ. So different cases. So the Rambam's girsa in all of these Gemaras is, the Rambam has the girsa that the Mishnah is only talk about three vital organs, the brain, and the heart and the liver. They're more than three vital organs. The Rambam always has the girsa like that. There used to be a Rabbi Hillman. Rabbi Herzog's father-in-law was Rabbi Hillman. He was the head of the Bezin in London a long time ago. He died a long time ago. So he has in his Sefer on Shas, the Orayosha, so he points this out, that the Rambam always has the gears in the Mishnahs for the three vital organs. So it's unclear whether the Rambam held that such halacha Moshe Messina, we only recognize in halacha three vital organs, we ignore all the rest. Or maybe we recognize all the vital organs as we have to ask a doctor, whatever is considered a vital organ has the same din. Whatever dinim applied to Eivash HaMashamah should apply to all. So that's one question. How many vital organs does the halacha recognize? Only those three that the Rambam has are all the vital organs. Number two, the question is, how many vital organs have to be dead already that the whole organism should, that the whole person or the whole organism should be considered dead? If you would have asked me, if I would have been entitled to an opinion, if you would have asked me, I would have said, if one vital organ is dead, so he's not alive. You need all the vital organs to be alive, that it should be considered alive. One vital organ is gestorben, so the whole person is dead. So nobody asked me. Apparently I'm not entitled to an opinion. So the question is it enough with, that's one side, one vital organ is dead? So one of the rabbanim was making fun of this possibility. So he said, what do you mean? A person can have a dead liver, he can be dancing at a wedding. He can't be dancing at the wedding, he can attend the wedding. Now, sometimes a grandfather comes to the wedding of a grandchild, and his liver is dead, he's going to die very soon. And he comes with an intravenous and whatever, and he comes to attend the wedding. He can't be dancing in the wedding, but he can attend the wedding. So you mean to say that such a person is dead? So I said, if you recognize brain death, so you should recognize this also as death. If the brain is one vital organ, the liver is one vital organ, why should you assume that the brain is more chashuv than the liver? If you say one vital organ is dead, it's gestorben. So a dead liver should also be dead. So there's one possibility, one vital organ is dead. One can say that you need all the vital organs to be dead. One can say that Ruba Kukula, if rive of the vital organs are dead, then the whole organism is considered dead. We have a concept of goses. The din is that there are some, every so often there is a special din regarding a goses. A goses is a person that's holding by dying. So what's the definition of goses? It's very unclear. There's a Fruma doctor in Flatbush in America, in New York, who asked the Shaila Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Moshe Feinstein, said they both gave the same answer. One of them wrote, Shachachnu, the Rabbanim have forgotten what the definition of a Goyses, and the other one said, Lo Yadainu. We don't know what the definition of a Goyses is, but we don't know exactly how to pinpoint when is a person on the level of a Goyses that the dinim should change. But what is in abstract, what's the definition of a Goyses? So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, in his commentary on the Mishnayos, in the beginning of Maseches Aholos, that a Goyses is one in whom the Tahalich HaMoves has begun. Talich HaMavis means that death is a process. It's not that now he's alive and then the second later he's dead. There's a process of death that has a beginning and an end. So when the process of death begins, that's called Goses. When the process of death has completed, that's called Mavis. So if you say that if one vital organ is dead, that's a Goses, okay, so then when is he dead? Either when all the vital organs are dead, there's no more blood circulating to all the vital organs, or to the rest of the vital organs. If you're going to say if one vital organ is dead, so he's already dead, like I thought, that's a definition. So then what's the definition of a goses? You don't know what's the beginning of the process. So the pashtus is that when there's no longer blood circulating to one of the vital organs, one vital organ is dead, that's not called death. Whether the vital organ is the brain, or the liver, or whatever it happens to be, that's the definition, that's called goses. And then when you have either rive of the vital organs are dead, or all of the vital organs are dead, so that's the definition of death. It is interesting that everybody keeps on quoting this Chassam Sefer's Tshuva. The Chassam Sefer, the Pischei Tshuva on Chosh Mishpat, is not by the same author as the Shari Tshuva. And Arachayim Shari Tshuva and Arachayim, who was written earlier by Befram Zach Margolis and his brother, so they only quote the early Rachayim. They never quote the Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer came later. But the Pischei Tshuva on Yeriday, Aben Ezra Chosh Mishpat, always quotes Chassam Sefer and the later Poskim as well. So the Pischei Tshuva in the end of Yeridah, the Halchas Tumas Kohanim, quotes the Tshuva Fata Chassam Sefer, who talks about this Gemara, Kolosh HaNishmas Ruach Chayim Biapov. So the Chassam Sefer writes in the Tshuva He's not so sure that this is a drosha gemura. Kol hashem nishmas rachai biapo. Whoever is not breathing is considered dead. He says there's a Mora Nevuchim where the Rambam in the Mora Nevuchim writes that in books on medicine, he quotes Galen. Galen's book on medicine, he records that there was a person who wasn't breathing for 3 days, and then he came to later on, and he continued. So we don't know if it's true or not, but that's what Galen records, that such a thing exists. So the Rambam says, the Rambam writes such a thing, that it's possible that a person is not breathing. So by us, the Chevra Kaddish sees that the person is not breathing for 15, 20 minutes, so they bury him right away. So this is the Shaila that the Yesta of the Chasam Sefer, that the governments in Europe at that time, times of the Chasam Sefer, passed the law, some of the countries in Europe still have it, that you're not allowed to bury anyone until 3 days go by, until 72 hours go by after the death certificate was signed, because maybe he's really dead and the doctors made a mistake. Because every so often it happens that they bury the person alive and then it comes out that they made a mistake. So someone sent a shadow to the Chasam Sefer, the Maritz Chai sent a shadow to the Chasam Sefer. Maybe we should adopt this as a policy because it's really a suffix, sakonis nefashis. So the Chasam Sefer, in the tshuva, it doesn't say who the tshuva is written to, because he also writes, are you an apikurus or something? So they left out the name of the one to whom the tshuva was written. How do we know who it was? Because the Maritz Chai was very proud of his correspondence with the Chasam Sefer. He published a separate sefer, My Correspondence with the Chasam Sefer. So he prints his Shaila, and then he prints the tshuva of the Chasam Sefer's paragraph by paragraph corresponds to his Shaila. So we only have the tshuva of the Chasam Sefer. You don't know what did the Chasam Sefer quote the Mor Nevuchim in the middle of the tshuva. The answer is because the Maritz Chayis quoted the Mor Nevuchim. So he, in his tshuva, his answer corresponds paragraph by paragraph to the Shaila that the Shaila is. There are a lot of other tshuvas in the Chasam Sefer. We don't have the Shaila. So every so often there's a tshuva Chasam Sefer. We don't understand what in the world he's driving at. What did he say that for? He's always responding to what the Shaila asked. And we don't always know. There are certain tshuvas we don't know bechlal what the Chasam Sefer is talking about. Because we don't know exactly what the Shaila was. So the Chasam Sefer raises the possibility that that whole pasuk, Kol Hashem Nishmas Rochaim V'Yam, it could be that the whole thing is only an asmachta mid the Rabban. We just scratched the surface on the topic, and you'll have to invite other speakers to cover the remaining 99% of the topic.